my name. There I am in the midst. So he has met and fulfilled one of his promises to you and I today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. John 14. If you will turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. Amen. The Gospel of John chapter 14. Amen. We are excited about what the Lord has in store and what God has planned for today. He is good. John chapter 14. I want you to think for just a little while this morning on this simple thought. The place that God has prepared for you. We can stress various parts of that, but let me say it again. I want to preach today, and God has led me to this place, on the place God has for you. As a body, but particularly as individuals, the place God has for you. And not just a place that God has for you, but the place that God has for you. I'm preaching what I feel like is something maybe I've already preached many times over, just in various ways, but I'm really preaching about God's will for your life. I'm preaching about God's calling on your life. The thought in my heart is God's destiny for you. See, we believe that God has this great plan for each and every one of His children. He has a place, not just a place, but He has your place prepared for you. And we believe that most believers in general actually live life and miss the place God has prepared for you. Why is that? Because we, even though we love Him and we're saved, we know we're saved, we love Him, we follow Him, we still have our own plans and we kind of set our own course and we go down a good path. I'm not saying life is bad or we've made wrong choices. We go down a good path and at the end of life we look back and life has been good. But God is not interested in what's good for you. God is interested in what's best for you. Because He has this plan for each one of us. God's destiny and God's plan, it's not only for preachers or for missionaries or for pastors. It's for every child of God. If God has saved you, then He's got a high calling on your life. And there's this place that He has prepared, and it's just for you, and I'm convinced nobody else could take my place, but God needs me to get myself in a position to where I can find that place when He gets me there. So the place that God has prepared for you. John 14, let's look at this text. Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You may be seated. Join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we love you today and we are thankful that you love us. Father, I'm thankful that you love me when I'm doing everything right, and I'm thankful you love me when I mess it all up. I'm thankful that you've loved me, Lord, in good times. You've loved me in bad times. I'm thankful for an unconditional love. And now, God, hear our heart today as we stand. I cannot do what needs to be done here today. Father, I've prayed, I've studied, I've sought your word and searched your word. And Lord, I thank you for all you've done to enable me to stand in this sacred spot. But God, on my own, I cannot do it. Father, I need your hand, your touch, your anointing. I pray you'll give me that, Lord. Father, we pray for mercies. We pray for your graces. Cleanse us of any and all of our sin and unrighteousness, Father, and use us, God, in your service. I pray for that beating heart today that has come to your house, Lord, eager and anxious to hear a word from you. And God, I pray you'll feed your people today and we'll leave here ever changed. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're thinking today about the place that God has prepared for you. Now, I want to say this to begin with, just right off the start. Before you can find your way to that place, before you can discover God's destiny for you, number one, you have to be saved and born again. You've got to know that you've been saved and are born again. I'm not asking, and I don't want to stay here but just this moment. I'm not asking when were you baptized. I'm not asking did you come to the front during a Bible school movement. I'm not asking did you memorize all the scriptures in Sunday school. I'm not asking do you sing in the choir. I'm not asking any of that. I'm just asking, do you know for sure that you've been saved and born again? And the way you know that is, has there ever been a time, a day, and a time in your life? And you don't have to know the day and the time. You don't have to remember it exactly. But you have to know that there was a day and a time when I bowed my knee and in my heart of hearts, I asked Jesus to save me because I realized that he was the only way to God. And so you've got to know for sure that you have been saved. I'm not asking you, are you a good person or are you a bad person? I'm certain this morning, because you're in church on Sunday morning, that you're a good person, that you're a great mother, a great father, a great dad. I'm asking you, has there ever been a place and a time when you realized you were lost and you needed Jesus to save you and only he could do that? If you've not done that, then we'll have an invitation in a little while, and I ask that you will come and you will find me and you will say, Preacher, I'm a member of a church down the road. I remember when I was baptized. I remember going to Sunday school and all of these things, but there's never been a time in my heart where I realized I was lost. And I confess that, and I ask Jesus to save me. So in a little while, I'll need you to come find me so you too can be saved and be born again. But once you're saved, God's got this great destiny in store for you. And I want you to think just a minute on number one, God's positioning for this place, or God's positioning for the place he has prepared for you. I want you to know that John 14, and I have done the same thing, it is most often used in funeral settings. You have been to a funeral where you have heard someone eulogized and the pastor spoke from John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me." I have stood and I have used this text as a funeral service. But I want you to understand something here. Jesus is not eulogizing anyone. Jesus is not conducting a funeral for anyone. Jesus also in this text, he is not on his way to heaven when he gives this sermon, if you will. So it's often used as a heaven text. And if you want to apply the many mansions verse to the fact that he's got a mansion in heaven for you, you can, and I don't think it's stretching the scripture. But Jesus wasn't on his way to heaven right here. Jesus was on his way to the cross. So let's keep the text in context. So Jesus was letting them know that heretofore I have been with you, but in the coming days I am going to be in you. And they must have questioned amongst themselves, well, Jesus with us is good and it's wonderful, but why would he need to be in us in coming days? Because he promised us he would send the Comforter and the Comforter would dwell in us. You're familiar with that passage of Scripture that goes on from John 14. Why? And they must have questioned why. And Jesus, he's trying to focus them and he's trying to direct them and he's trying to point them and warn them and prepare them. He's positioning them for what is about to happen. He wants them to know what's taking place and he wants them to know what's about to take place. Are you with me today? Say amen. Okay. And so here's what's about to happen. Jesus, they are together with him. They are in fellowship with him. They are sitting around this Lord's table. Although he's told them many times that the cross was where he was making his way to, and that he would be crucified at the hands of men, that he'd be lifted up on a cross, that he'd be buried, and he would rise again the third day. They had not heeded or paid attention to any of that. So they're sitting at this table, oblivious to what is about to come, and he's wanting them to be prepared for that day, which happens to be this very night. He wants them to be prepared for that time when there in the garden he'll be betrayed, crucified, die, and buried, and then rise again. But they don't know all of that right now at this table and at this setting. So he just wants them to know this. He wants them to know things are coming, things are happening, and you've got to be prepared for it. And I am preparing you for that. I'm trying to get you in a place where you'll be ready, but something is about to happen that's going to change your life forever. I just wonder today if there is somebody here who you remember a time or an event that changed your life forever. I've always said all it takes is one phone call. Today I stand in this sacred desk and I'm smiling and I'm happy and I'm full of the joy of the Lord, but by the end of this service I could pick up my phone and there would be a phone call that could change my life forever. I wonder if there's somebody here who just a call from a doctor's office has changed your life forever, or a call from a son or a daughter has changed your life forever. Or a laboratory report comes back and it changed your life forever. Or you woke up to a letter on a counter from a husband or a wife who walked out on you and it changed your life forever. I wonder if anybody here could identify with what Jesus is trying to say, that something is going to happen that would change your life forever. Now listen to me. So what you've got to do is you're there, and I think almost any of us could say there have been events in my life that have changed me forever. I think many of us could say that today. So you've got to ask yourself, why am I here today? Well, I've got good news to begin with. I want you to understand that the very fact that you are here, you are breathing the air God has given you, your heart is beating within your chest, that lets me know that God has a plan and a place for you. That God's not done with you. That God's not forgot about you. God's not give up on you. God's not punishing you. But God is still doing a work in your life to get you to that place that God has prepared for you. There must be some reason that God let me come through that car wreck. There must be some reason that God let me survive cancer. There must be some reason that God brought me through an awful divorce. There must be some reason that I lost my job. There must be some reason that in my body I battle a chronic illness every day. There must be some reason God has done all of that and still today has let me be here in God's house on this Sunday morning. So you need to ask yourself, why? Why am I still here? What is God doing in my life? Have you ever thought about this? You're still here because there's something in front of you that's much more greater than what's behind you. That ought to make some of you shout. There's something in front of you that's much more important than what is behind you. Your greatest days was not yesterday. I know that maybe in your body you bear scars. Maybe in your mind you battle scars in your memory. Maybe your heart has been wounded and every day you are reminded of how you have been brokenhearted and heartbroken. But listen to me. You may think your greatest days were yesterday, but they were not. Your greatest days are your tomorrows because God's got your place prepared. Great days are ahead for you. And surely, now listen to me, you've got to understand that God, as I searched that term destiny out, And as I studied it and I looked up many definitions of it, almost inevitably, even in secular dictionaries, when they are describing and defining destiny, almost inevitably, the emphasis is on a course of events that set you on a course to destiny. So you look back and you see all of these things that happen. You look back and you see all these events that have occurred. You look back and you see these things that have happened to you that have changed your life forever. You must know that God is positioning you through this course of events to get you to the place God has for you, His perfect will for your life calling. That's what God is doing. Now watch this. So you've got to ask yourself, well, why am I here? Because God's got a plan for you. If God was finished with you, He'd have took you home. But God left you here. You're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. You're here because you've got a calling. You're here because you've got an unction on your life. You may not know it all now. You may not be able to see the end yet. Let me tell you something. If when I was 17 years old, I was lost at 17, but when I was 17 years old, had God showed me at 17 where I would be at 47, standing behind this sacred desk at Liberty Baptist Church, I would have had a massive coronary arrest and fell dead right on the spot. Yes. So you may not know, you may not be able to see the end yet, but like I said last Sunday, we serve a God who knows the end from the beginning. You may not be able to see clearly yet. You may not be able to understand it all at this point in time, but you just need to understand that the reason you're still here is because God's got this high calling on your life. And I've never been around anybody, anywhere, that did anything great for God who didn't get to that place without great struggle in their life. God is moving you to where He wants you to be, and these things that have changed your life forever, listen to me, though the enemy meant it to destroy you and kill you, God meant it for good and for the best of you. Are you with me? Don't sleep through this. You're going to need to know it. Now, what's very sobering is this thought. Daniel 10, there Daniel is praying and he's seeking God. And as he prays, there's a war in the heavens. Not heaven, but in the heavens. I've preached on this here. There's a war in the heavens between Michael, and we believe Gabriel helped him. That's the two chief angels. Remember, angels are warring beings. That's why they exist. Between them and Satan over these prayers and what Daniel was trying to accomplish. Just prayers and praying. It was a battle in heaven. Trying to stall, trying to intercept, trying to delay those prayers from reaching the throne of God and God answering those prayers for Daniel. Go read it yourself, Daniel chapter 10. You don't have to believe me. Daniel chapter 10. And then as we read over in Jude, there's this passage that tells us that Michael, he disputed with Satan over the body of Moses. Over the body of Moses. Satan was interested in the dead body of one of God's chosen vessels. Why is that? There's a lot of speculation to that. Some people believe it's because during the tribulation, Moses will be revived, not resurrected, because resurrection is for eternity, but revived, brought back to life by God, and he'll work miracles to try to bring back the nation of Israel to God. But whether that's the case or not, one of the things I think indeed is the case is that the devil knew that Moses was a servant of God and that even his body, if there was ever a chance Moses could come back to life again, the devil wanted to stop that because he knew God had a hand on Moses in his lifetime. What I'm getting at is this, if the devil's interested in the dead carcass of one of God's servants, how much more so would he be interested in a living, breathing child of God who God has anointed and ordained with purpose and with a place and with a destiny that only God can lay on a man, woman, boy, or girl? So you must, watch this, this both scares me and sobers me and excites me at the same time. But watch this. You must, after all you have been through, you must have sensed and known about the war in the heavens that was taking place over you. The enemy, the demons of hell, they have hovered over you and fought to have you, to touch you, to break you, to ruin you. But God sent his angels to keep you through that battle. Man, are you here this morning? I don't know about you, but brother, I'm telling you, I felt it in my lifetime. The war in the heavens over me. And I'm nothing. I can't even imagine. I'm 47. The best part of my life is over with. I have fewer days ahead than I have behind me, physically speaking, according to the doctors. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine being a young person in here today who has your whole life ahead of you, what the enemy must be doing to claim you and to claim you now, both mentally, both physically, and spiritually. He would not only like to drag you to hell and keep you from getting saved, but if you're saved, he would like to so destroy you physically, mentally, emotionally, that you'll never get to that place where God's prepared for you. That's the work of the enemy. That's the work of the devil. That's the work of all of hell. It's the So I can't imagine for our young people here today, what if we had eyes that we could see the spiritual. Listen, I'm not preaching hocus pocus here today. I'm preaching Bible. I'm preaching what the Word says. I can't imagine what must be going on over the lives of our young people today. I can't imagine how intense the warfare must be as the enemy tries to claim them. But I want you to understand something. God has left you here. God has got you here. God has brought you to this place today because he does have the place prepared for you where you are to live out your days in his perfect will. It's a place of divine calling, divine anointing, divine unction, and God has that call on you and a place saved for you. Nobody else. Nobody else but you. So as we look in John 14, we see this positioning, if you will, for this place. And you've got to see this warfare that's been taking place. And then as we are going through these events that set us on course to our destiny, we got to think about God's promise. I want to tell you something. If you look back on your life and you start trying to figure things out as to what happened and why they happened, you'll drive yourself crazy. But you've got to put your absolute trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know it at the time, but in January of 1993, we were on an airborne operation. I put on about 150 pounds of rucksack, weapon, and parachute, reserve parachute, exited the aircraft about 1:10 a.m. in the morning. And before I got to the ground, my parachute had malfunctioned. And I did not know it then, but I see clearly now that set a course of events in my life that brought me here today. So if you start figuring out along the way, you start figuring out, why has this happened to me? What is going on? God has forgotten me. I want you to remember his promise, and his promise is this. God has not forgotten you. In fact, God is allowing events to happen in your life that's going to get you to the place God has for you. He's allowing these events to take place so that you can be prepared. See, God's prepared this place. It's your job to be prepared when God gets you to that place. Do you hear me? I want you to understand this, and you write it down. God has not forgotten you. That's God's promise. Did you know the Bible says, well, I've got 47, and I've done this for the last 20 years. I've used sticky notes. And then I kind of come to a place where sticky notes don't help me. Like I had to have sticky notes to remind me to read my sticky notes. And that doesn't even work. So real important stuff, I've got to where I will write it right here on my hand. Right there on the meaty portion of my thumb, because I can see it. I can't get away. If I reach to grab something to drink, I see a real important announcement. If I go get something to eat, if I raise my hand up, if I grab something to work with, I see that important announcement. It keeps my mind where it needs to be. I know these people come to me out, preacher, you really need to use your calendar on your cell phone. You've got to punch that. You can set alarms, you can set it 30 minutes, and I still don't do that. I'm just old school. I just write on my hands. Did you know this? Did you know the Bible says that God has your name engraved on the palm of his hand? That come from Isaiah. God's not forgotten about you. In fact, every day, every moment, every second, he is reminded of you. He knows the events that shook your world. He knows the things that went on in the past. He knows the phone call that changed your life. He knows all of that because he's got your name engraved in the palm of his hand. Now, don't use that to run out of here and say tattoos are okay according to the Bible, because God's got a tattoo in his hand. Don't stretch that out there. You know what I'm saying? I used to teach criminal justice at our local community college, and they sent me to the high school over at one of our high schools in the county, teaching introductory criminal justice classes to the high school students, and they got college credit for it and all of that. But I had my first class, I had 31 students, and there's 27 girls, and the other ones were boys, 27 girls. I come in one day, and some of the girls in the class, they were showing off their little butterfly they had right there in the small of their back, where they had all run out and got tattoos with butterflies. And I just laughed, and they said, "What?" And I said, "Well, that little butterfly you got at 17, when you're 70, it's going to be a pterodactyl." You laugh. But you were so foolish to run out and have a woman's name tattooed on your shoulder. You then had to run back and have Helen removed and have Amy wrote on there, because you remembered all the hell Helen put you through. Yeah, you that are guilty, I can see it all over you. But listen. Listen, the Bible says God has your name engraved in the palm of his hand. Does that not humble you, that God has not forgotten you? He's not left you. He's not finished you. His plans have not changed because of what you've been through, because of circumstances, because of a phone call that changed your world. His plan has never changed. It's still the same. And you say, "But preacher, you don't understand how many tears we've cried over this. You don't know how much I've wept over this." Did you know the psalmist David in Psalm 56 verse 8 says this? He said, "Lord, you know where I have been. But not only do you know where I've been, but God, you have all of my tears in a bottle, and you have those tears recorded in your book." Are you with me right now? So long after your tears are dried up, long after you get through what you've been through, long after you have no tears left, God has got a bottle of your tears and a book that's recorded those tears, and God is saying, "You may have forgot those tears. They may be dried up, but I've not forgotten the tears you've cried in days gone by." Your name is ever before our God. He has not, will not, and cannot forget you and where you're at in life. Hallelujah. There have been times, because of what I've went through, I tried to forget about God. It's interesting how struggles and trials, they should drive us to the Maker, to our Creator, Redeemer. So many times our struggles, our trials, we let ourselves run the other way. But God's not forgotten you. Even when I've tried to forget Him, He has not forgotten me, and I am thankful for that. Well, this last thing, and Abigail, I'm going to get you and Elizabeth to come. And I'm going to close with this. So there's this positioning, if you will, that God has got to, God uses events to get us to that place. There is this promise that He's not forgotten you. You know when we start thinking God has forgotten us? When we pray and we pray, and there are no apparent answers to those prayers. We wonder if God's even listening, because we have prayed from a broken heart. Lord, where are you at? I've asked. I've asked you to heal me of cancer, and Lord, you've not done that yet. I've asked you to put my marriage back together, and God, it's not happened yet. I've asked you to heal my body, and that's not taking place yet, Lord. God, I've asked you for a job, and you've not given me a job yet. And so we begin to wonder where God's at. By the way, all those prayers, Book of Revelation also teaches us that God keeps all the prayers of the saints in a golden bowl, a golden vial, and they are as an incense that goes up before God. He hears your prayers. He remembers those prayers. So there's this promise, and God says, I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten you. Write that in your Bible. I am not forgotten. I am not forgotten. Listen, the visitation team may forget to come see you. And me as pastor, I may forget to call you and check on you. I may forget that there was some special event or some special occasion or some doctor's appointment and I forgot to ask you about. I'm feeble-minded. I'm just fleshly-minded. But God does not forget. He's not forgotten you. That's God's promise. And so lastly, I want you to think about these plans that God has for you. Here's his plans for this place. You write this down. Nothing that has happened to you has happened without purpose. Now think about that. Nothing that has happened to you has happened without purpose. God may have not caused it all to happen. Maybe the enemy caused it to happen because he's warring over you. But God allowed it to happen. It had to come through God's permissive will and through his hand to get to you. But nothing that has happened to you has happened without purpose. That ought to excite some of you so much this morning. It ought to move some of you to rejoice here in just a moment in this invitation, because there's no accidents in the life of a believer. There's no happenstance in the life of one of God's children. Everything that has happened to you has happened to you for a purpose. Not just a reason, but for a purpose. You are here today because God wanted you to be aware of the fact that he has this place prepared for you. This place that he says, that is my chosen servant. I have a high calling on that servant. I have a place for that servant. I have an anointing for that servant that I want them to live out their days. And until they get to that place where I can show them the place, then there are a courses of events that must take place in their life, because I'm going to use all that one day. Because I was reminded yesterday, actually, among a group of men, that I was just reminded about where I once was and what I once did. And this man reminded me, he said, yeah, but he said, God had a plan. I'm here today because God had a plan. You're here today because God has a plan. He's getting you there. This course of events, it's rapidly bringing you to that place. You've just got to be prepared yourself. And so, thirdly, nothing has happened without purpose. And so now you say, preacher, I want that. Man, I'm sold out. I know I've been saved. I remember the day I asked God to save me. And I know for sure he saved me. And I want to serve him and I love him. And I want to be in that place. Man, I want that place. I know God's got a destiny for me. I want that, preacher. That is what I want. Give that to me. Give that to my life. Give that calling. I want it, and I want it now. How do I get it, preacher? How do I discover the place God's got for me in life for Him? Well, here's what Thomas said. Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. This place, we don't know the way to get to the place." And the Lord said, "Thomas, don't seek the place, seek me." Here's what he said. He said, "Thomas, stop looking for the way to the place, because I am the way. I am the way." So you don't seek it. See, there's such preaching today about destiny and calling that we worship the destiny and the calling more than we worship the one that put that destiny on our life. And so we don't worship it, we worship Him. We don't seek it, we seek Him. And here's how this works, and I'm going to tell you, I can't explain it all, but now listen to me. Here's how this works. All I know is this, is that when I have sought Him with all of my heart, not the end, not the calling, not the anointing, not the place, but when I have sought Him with all of my being, it's almost as if I wake up one day and I'm in the place. I'm in His will and in His destiny for my life. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I want you to discover the place God's got for you, probably more than you want it, because I believe many, many believers, if not most, miss it in all their days. I want it bad for you, but I want to tell you today, listen, don't seek it. Just seek Him. So my question as I close today would be this thought. I just wonder, are there any seekers here this morning who's interested in knowing Him more than anything else? Oh, I know there's been these events. I know God's been moving you around. He's doing it to get you to that place. I understand He's going to use it in your life. You may not see it now. You'll look back one day and you'll see clearly. Right now it's as looking through a dark, dim glass. But one day you'll look back and you'll say, "I know why God let that happen to me. I know why God let me endure that. I know why God put me through that. I understand it all." And it's always looking back that we see that. We can never see it looking ahead when we're there, when we're enduring it, when we're going through it. But one day you'll look back and you'll be able to say, "Lord, I thank you." Let me tell you something. You will get rid of a lot of grudges. You'll get rid of a lot of hatred. You'll get rid of a lot of unforgiveness toward people when you look back, if you'll just look back and see how God used it to bring you where you are today. You'll let go of some things. But you've been going through these events, and sure, God's moving you, and you've got question marks, and most of all, you've begged God, "God, why? Why me? Why has this happened? Why is this going on? Why is this taking place?" And God says, just be still, child. I've got your name right here. You've quit crying, but I've still got your tears I'm looking at every day. They're in my book. I've not forgotten you. There's a process taking place. There's a plan being unfolded. There's a plan being unveiled. And in the end, when you're there, you'll know you're there. And you'll look back and you'll see what God did all along the journey to bring you to that place. But you got to seek Him. Not His call, not His anointing, not His favor. You just seek Him. You just long for Him. You just pant for Him. You just desire Him. He'll give you the anointing when you do that. He'll give you favor when you do that. He'll give you grace when you do that. He'll start opening doors then that no man can open and no man can close. He'll start leading then when you seek Him. When He sees you want Him worse than you want life itself, God does miracles in your life. That, Lord, more than I need air, I need you. More than I need blood in my veins, I need you, because without Him, there'd be no air, there'd be no blood in my veins. Man, are you with me today? And so this morning, what needs to take place is there needs to be somebody here. And first off, you ought to just be thankful that you're here today. Man, the cancer could have killed me. The car wreck could have took me. The financial ruin should have destroyed me. The divorce should have kept me under all the days of my life. Addiction should have put me in the early grave. But God, I'm here today. I'm here, and God, I don't know what's going on, and I don't know why I walk through what I walk through, but God, I praise you, and I bless you. The very fact that you're here gives me evidence that God's not done with you. In fact, the very fact you're here today tells me this, that God's probably just getting started. You ought to just rejoice in that. God, thank you. Thank you for where I am today, that I'm here in your house worshiping you. Thank you. Secondly, Lord, I am here to just seek you. You see me. You know my name. It's engraved in the palm of your hand. You've seen every tear I've ever cried. And God, you will not forget the tears that I have wept in the midnight hour when nobody else is around. God, you were there. And you are collecting those tears, putting them in a bottle and writing in your book. You remember me. I bless your holy name. So I would say this morning, even though we look back and there's been life-changing events take place, today we must do something very supernatural, which is not natural at all. We must praise Him despite of where we've had to walk. We must bless His name despite of the valleys we've walked in, despite of the storms we've endured. Today we must do that which only we can do supernaturally with God's Spirit and the help of God's Word today. We must just bless His name and give Him glory. I'm going to ask Abigail to sing, and Abigail, go ahead. And the first words out of her mouth, you stand and you come. Ready? Stand. Now come. Push somebody out of the way. And you come, make your way to this altar. That's right. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Bless His name. Bless His name. Quickly come. From the middle, from the back. Sing, Abigail. That's right. That's right. God's moving in hearts. He's moving in lives. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. That's right. He's just starting. Hallelujah. That's right. Yes. Obey Him. Seek Him. That's right. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, bless His name. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. You take your time. Somebody else still needs to come. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Yes. Yes. That's right. Hallelujah. Oh my. If you only knew the pain, the heartache, and the burden of yesterday's that was contained in this church right now, we would all die under the weight of that. But if you're still breathing, he's still working. He's still working. He's still working. Amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate you being so attentive and love you dearly. And I am praying for that place God has for you, that one day you'll live in it and worship him in it. He'll use you mightily. Amen.